Okay, all right, let's get into the word. We are on the latter end of learning what it means to be sanctified, and then we're going to move into faith towards God. This is the last lesson, but I want to recap some things to see where everybody is as we go through this process and see how much we really, really, really remember. All right, so I got a couple questions that I'm going to throw out and see where your answers are. First of all, first question, do we have people with microphones ready to move? Do we have our microphones ready? We should have that every week, or do I have to ask for that? No yelling. Do we have someone with to carry the microphones? All right, I need someone of the tech guys to move pretty quickly down here and to help us, please. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to get it together. We're going to get it together. Everybody say, get it together. All right, we're going to get it together. How many believe that all people, Christian or not, will go to heaven? Raise your hand. How many believe they won't? How many don't know? Okay. How many people believe all people, Christian or not, will stand before God? How many believe they won't? How many don't know? Okay, good. How many believe in UFO and alien life on the planet? That's a legitimate question. Okay, how many don't? How many don't know? Okay, all right. How many believe who's a non-Christian, lives a great life, does everything right in life, that by doing the good things in life, he will go to? How many? Okay, okay, all right. Next one. When God said there's no afterlife, how many believe that? How many don't believe that? How many believe that God evolved us from animals? Really? Y'all don't believe that? How many don't believe that? Good, good. How many believe that there's a hell for those who don't go? Okay. How many don't believe that? Does not believe the hell. How many don't know? Okay. All right. Tell me this. That we'll be reunited with our bodies in the end. How do you believe that? Don't believe that. How many don't know? Okay. Let me try that again. You believe you're going to be reunited with your body at the end of time. Raise your hands and high. How many don't know? Believe you won't. Okay. You won't. Okay. Does anyone want to answer that question? Anybody feel they can answer that question? The Cooper kids know all the answers. Nobody? Say, I've taught you. Come on now. What happens? Who's going to have? What happens to you? Are you going to get reunited with your body at the end? Is your hand high or is it you're guessing? Okay, go ahead. When somebody goes like this, I'm not sure. Okay, go ahead. We are on yellow mic, please. Don't pop it. Thank you. Yellow mic, go. Yellow mic, please. Yellow mic, please. Turn it on now. It's on mute. It's on mute. Now press the yellow button. There we go. Oh, my God. My tech team is blowing it tonight. Oh, my gosh. Hold on. You got my mic real high right now. Okay. Thank you. Go.
We'll be reunited with our bodies, but we won't get old. We won't be sick.
You will be reunited with your body? Okay. How do you know that?
Because you told me that.
Have I got a bridge to sell you? How do you know I'm not lying to you?
Because I trust that you're not.
That is so bad. Listen, hold on now.
Is it,
no, you should not trust your pastor.
If it's not in the word,
you don't trust your pastor.
Right.
You don't trust your pastor. You do not trust your pastor. Why do I say that? That sounds crazy, right? The Bible says, cursed is the man that trusts in man and make man his arm. I'm not asking you to trust me. I'm asking you, do you believe him? Because all I'm giving you is words that are his. You've got to believe him. Okay? So can anybody back up what she's saying at all? We'll go here to Jeannie.
Shall rise first, and we that are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the air.
Okay,
and will forever be with him.
Okay, caught up in the air with him, but what's that have to do with your body?
Say it again.
She says you're not going alone. Okay, so when you're caught up in the air, does that mean you're going to get this body back right here? Go ahead. Get on the mic. Don't be afraid.
We'll be transformed. We'll be, you know, in the blinking of an eye.
Okay.
We will be changed.
We'll be changed. Okay, so you will get this body. Okay. All right. Anybody else have another reason or another answer? We got one over here, right here. Go ahead.
So I think we'll get new bodies and then...
New bodies, not the same bodies.
No.
Okay. Tell me why.
2 Corinthians 5, it says, rather, we want to put on our new bodies so that these dying bodies will not be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he's given us the Holy Spirit. So it talks about those new bodies.
Okay, so in that case, you're going to get a different body. Wait a minute. Hold on. She said, for those who didn't hear it, maybe it's the same one, but maybe it's renovated, you know. Okay, so you've got, this old house body. Okay, what's the answer? Okay, we'll go over here. And what do you say, Derek? And then we'll come over here.
I think that you have the same body, but you do not have, you do not need blood for your body.
That is true. You won't need blood for your body, but will you have the exact one you have now? Will you look like you? Right? So you're going to look like you do right now. She's like, oh, man. Yeah. A lot of us are going to feel that way. Yeah. So what do you say, Ryan? What is your information? Green mic, please.
Philippians 3:20-21 says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself.
Okay, so we're going to have a glorious body like his body, but it's going to happen to us. So whatever happens to him happens to us. And what happened to him? What happened to him? Can I get somebody to raise a hand? What happened to him? What happened? Nobody's going to answer? Okay. Go ahead, Ryan. You answer.
His body, the same body that was crucified and killed, was raised up again with all authority and power.
Right. The same body he died with was raised up. Remember, what happened in the tomb that tells us that? What happened inside the tomb? Can anybody remind me what happened inside the tomb that would say that's exactly what happened? Okay, over here. What happened in the tomb that was so unique? Give him the mic.
Two angels. They when they went into the
please put the mic.
When they went into the tomb, there were two angels at the one the head and one the foot of Jesus, and. Wasn't there.
Someone take the mic from him, please.
The sheet was there, but Jesus was not there.
There you go. So now, guys, hold the mic, please, close. God, I know. They went into the tomb, and what happened was that the sheet that was his cloth was there, but his body was gone. So he resurrected with his body. Can anyone prove that by a verse? What verse would prove it? That he resurrected with his body? Anybody? How about, is it Luke or John 24? Luke or John? 17? Where is it at? John what? Are you going to answer the question? Okay, raise your hand, please. Let's get her a microphone. And then tell me why. Please. Okay.
John chapter 20, verses 24 through 29. And my scripture is slowly coming up. But the 24 through 29 talks about how when Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came, so the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nail marks were, I will not believe."
And thrust my hand into his side. I will not believe. Verse 26.
Put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, the disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Through the doors locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be unto you." And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe."
Wow, do you see that? So he literally told Thomas, "Listen, stick your hand in where I was stabbed, put your finger in the holes in my hand, stop doubting, it's me, I'm real." So ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be raised with the body that you had on earth. That's what you're going to be raised with. Very good. Okay, next question is this. Can Christians today do greater works than Jesus? How many believe you can? How many believe you can't? How many don't know? Okay. The Bible says you can do greater works than Jesus. So that means everything you read in the Bible, you ought to be able to do even more than what he did. So when anyone says to you, "Well, that's, you know, hey, you ought to be like this. Well, that was Jesus. I'm not Jesus." You can't use that anymore, because you're going to have to do greater works than he did. Okay? All right. Another question. Each of us have how many believe that each of us has an assignment on earth before we die? How many believe we don't? We're just kind of floating in space. How many don't know? Okay. Good, good. So hopefully, as we've gone through, I've seen a lot less hands up than we did before, simply because we've gone through a lot of this, okay? And so today, I want to continue in some of the lessons that we are learning from and just do a real snapshot of sanctification and what that means, okay? And what does it mean to be sanctified underneath the umbrella of God, okay? So I want you to first write three things down. There are three types of sanctification. Three types of sanctification. Talked a little bit about this last week. Three, there's immediate or positional. Immediate or positional. There is ongoing or practical. And number three, eternal or final. Three types of sanctification. Sanctification. Now, it's very important that we understand what this means, because sanctification is putting more and more of your life aside for God. More and more. That means you don't start your Christian walk with everything all over to God. There's parts of you you hold back. There's parts of your thinking, the parts of your habits, part of your ways that isn't all God. Well, sanctification takes care of that. It doesn't mean that when you get saved, you're automatically perfect. Okay? Was anybody automatically perfect when they were born? Okay, no, none of us were. Anybody perfect now? Because you can preach for me, please. Okay, none of us are perfect, okay? We all make mistakes. We all stumble and fall. But God had that in the eternal plan before you got saved. He knew you would make mistakes. God Almighty, you are amazing. Somebody ought to give God a great hand clap for just that. Because how many times do we beat on ourselves because we make mistakes? Oh, God, you now, I done messed up. My whole life is, oh, hush. He planned you to be sanctified and all the way sanctified. All the way, meaning without spot or blemish before you get to heaven. I believe it. I'm the word. So you may be there now, but he's working on you now. How still are you as you were 2 years ago? You were? She raised a hand like me. If you are as ornery, how many are as sinful as you were 2 years ago? How many are not? Okay. Every year you get better and better. Now, there may be certain areas in your life you slip back, but overall, God's sanctifying life. He's making you better, want better, you think better, you talk better. Okay, so if the first one is what we call immediate or positional sanctification, the answer to that can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. I don't have a computer. Again, who on the computer tonight? Thank you. Amen. My goodness. Hey, I want to do an advertisement for Tech Team. If we have anybody that has an interest in working with ProPresenter or anything like that, I would love to have you involved. Is there anyone here right now that would like to be involved in Tech? Anybody? Nobody? Nobody? Okay, pretty. All right. Here we go. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Let's see if we can get that on our board. 1 verse 2. There it is. Okay. Everyone read what's on the screen. Let's go. Let's do that again. That doesn't look right. That's not right. Okay. Unfortunately, do we have any volunteers for the ProPresenter? Amen. I'll just do it. I'm God's church in Corinth to you who have been called by God to be his holy people. He's making a comment to everybody in the church. And he says this, he made you holy by means of Jesus Christ. Now, some of you aren't acting holy. Come on, somebody. He made you holy. That's why the enemy can't touch your stuff. He touch your thing. Man, you know, the enemy going to jump on me. He can't touch you because you were made what? Holy. That means you're justified. Holy. He made you holy by me, Christ Jesus, just as he did for people everywhere who call upon him, the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and our world. The moment you confess Christ as your Savior, he makes you holy. And I mean, all your junk, all your habits, your stinking thing, everything that's in your holy inside, the enemy can't touch you. Amazing to me. Okay. That is what we call immediate positional transition. Now, how does this happen? Go to Ephesians 2, verse 10. Something takes place in the supernatural. Shift from the natural to a supernatural position, and now you're part of God's family, and even made holy. Okay, so we want to take a look again. I'll repeat the verse. We want to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Amen. There we go. Amen. Can we all read this? We can all read this? Go. Right, so watch this. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us what? Anew in Christ Jesus. Instantly. Boom. He's made us. We are different than anything else on the planet. You are different. You don't have to look different. You don't have to feel different. You are different. It's a fact change. The moment that you got Christ, you were made anew. Corinthians says old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. If you could see the supernatural, you just lit up a candle. You are on fire, and everybody else is in darkness, but you are lit up like a Roman candle. So I keep repeating this, so you can't go back to the places you used to go because you stand out like a Roman candle. Somebody say amen. I shared this true story. We had a member here. She got saved here, was all excited about God, and then one of her friends invited her to this concert, this hard, heavy metal concert, and so she says, I'm going to go, you know, it'll be okay, I'm going to be okay, and she goes to this heavy metal concert, you know, they're drinking, they're doing all kinds of stuff, and a friend goes up to the stage, and the guy says, come to the back, and he gives her friend a ticket to come to the back, so gave him two tickets for him, so they're rushing after the concert, they go to the back, and they knock on the door. And the door opens, and there's this big, heavy-set lady standing in the doorway and looking at the two of them, and they said, what do you want? And she handed her the two tickets. We were here for backstage, and she took the one ticket. She let the one girl walk by, and then she took the other ticket and ripped it up. And the lady said, wait, that's my friend. I'm with her. She said, not tonight, you're not. He goes, well, what do you mean? Why'd you rip up my ticket? She said, because, first of all, she ain't got what you got with you. You got a big old angel standing behind you, and we don't let them back up in here. And she shut the door on her. She had no idea positionally things had changed. She didn't even get it. That even you don't feel like it in heaven doesn't matter. You've been changed. Come on now. So you in your mind, I'm trying to teach you that in your mind, you got to get over that just because it looks the same, it is the same. It ain't the same. You're not in the same position. Things have changed. People look at you and go, there's something about you. You know how many times when I go to a gas station and I'm pumping my gas and somebody walk by and go, are you a preacher? And I'm wearing, you know, nothing. It's not like I got a collar on my neck. They say, I could tell. And they just keep walking off. And I'm like, that never happened. Nobody said that to me before I came to Christ. Nobody. Okay? But it happens all the time positionally because you were instantaneous, moved out of the world of darkness into the world of light. And the world of light knows it, and the world of darkness knows it. Go to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. I'll prove it. Did I say Acts chapter 9? No, I didn't. Acts chapter 19, maybe? Okay. I thought this was my favorite one. Okay, I may have to tell you the story. So here's, I'll find the verse for you in just a second. But the scriptures talk about that there's a difference in the world of the supernatural. And they know when you've been changed, even if you don't know you've been changed. And what's very important, go to Acts chapter 19. What's very important is that you recognize the change is done in the supernatural. And if you don't recognize it, you can hurt yourself. You can hurt yourself. Okay? Watch this. Go to verse 11. We're going to start at verse 11. And God gave Paul the power to perform unusual miracles. Can we say that together? God gave Paul the power to. In other words, that it's just because he had the Holy Spirit didn't mean he had the, he could just walk out and do miracles. God had to give him the power to do the miracles. It had to come from God's mind. I want Paul, you need to have this, and I'm going to give it to you. So he did it. Verse 12, watch this. Let's see what happens in verse 12. When handkerchiefs or what? That had merely what? Were placed on what? They were what? And what happened? Evil spirits were what? They left. I mean, a handkerchief. It was a special anointing. He blew his nose and touched the person, and the devil left. That's power. Somebody say power. No, you got to say it with a B. It's P-O-B-E-R. Say it like that. Power. That's power. It's not just power. It's power. That's real. And handkerchiefs and laid them on people. People were healed of the diseases. Devils came out. All of that were expelled because of what Paul was able to do, because he was positionally changed in Christ. The moment he confessed, he was positionally changed from the world of darkness into the world of light. And now darkness could not tolerate that boy. But we have something unique happen. Go to verse 13. to see a Gary. Verse 13. Let's all read. Go. I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Now, why did they do that? Because they saw Paul doing it. And they figured, well, if he can do it, no, you can't do it because you're not positionally changed. You have no inheritance in this story. You've got no power whatsoever, even though you can say, well, if he can do it, I can do it. No, because something changed in the supernatural. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why it's important that you get into the word, because when you don't understand something has shifted in the supernatural, you will live your life walking in the natural and not know you could change. Supernaturally, the world is different to you. You can see things different. You can speak different. I mean, man, when you figure out what it means to be a son or daughter of the living, not the dead God, the living God, what would you do? Listen, you know, you watch these TV shows and these movies and you think, wow, that's pretty cool. You see these light shows and people jumping and doing, you know, running fast and picking up heavy things. You're like, oh, that's fantasy. You've been lied to. This isn't fantasy. Samson put one hand on a column, another one on another column, and brought down the Amway Center. Boom! By himself. All those people in the stadium died because of one man being able to pull down columns all by himself. And you think, well, that's just a story. You know, this stuff happens all around the world and you just don't hear about it. It happens all the time. But you have to want this. I mean, you've got to get tired of just hearing how to be a good moral person. I'm going to get somebody. You got to get to a point where you want to be fully full of the Holy Spirit. Not just, I'm not doing wrong. That is so lowballing your faith. Look at your neighbor and say, don't lowball me. Do the other side say, don't you lowball me. Isn't that how we try to live? We say, well, all I'm trying to do is survive. Survive what? You're going to live eternally. What are you talking about? You got to learn how to be more than conquerors. So that means that you have to accept your position in Christ completely so that you can walk in your authority and not always have to call somebody else to bring you out of a problem. Come on now, you should be able to call those things that be not as though they were and watch it happen. I'm not talking fantasy. I mean, listen, why would I be so adamant about this if this wasn't real? I'd have no reason. This does not benefit me pumping, you know, fantasy into your head. It doesn't help me at all. In fact, if this is fake, I'm really losing credibility in the room because you'll never see it. Ever. But we've seen it. And as Paul said, I speak those things I've seen and I've heard personally. And I want you to begin to understand who you are in Christ so that you could do what he's called you to do in Christ. Now look at this. A group of Jews, what it says, traveling from town to town, they made a living casting out evil spirits. They tried to use the name of Jesus in their incantation. I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Verse 14. Seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, this man was a well-known preacher, had seven sons. And everybody knew who the sons of Sceva were. You know, they got power. His daddy's a high priest. His daddy's one of them real popular priests. Yeah, he got power. Look at verse 15. Read. ever want to have that question. Lord have mercy. Don't you ever let the devil ask you the answer to that question. Now, I know Jesus and I know Pastor Steve, but who are you? You in trouble. Seven sons thought they were bad. Try to use Jesus' name, but were not positionally sanctified. They were not shifted from the world of darkness into the world of light. Three sanctifications: positional, ongoing, and eternal. They never even hit the first one. And so when they tried to cast out the demons in Jesus' name, them devils got mad. Because they know they've been getting cast out all over the place in Jesus' name by real people. And here comes some fake wannabes. He's like, ooh, we about to show you what we about to do for them fake wannabes. He goes, hold on now. Jesus I know. Paul I know. But who are you? Now, everybody else knew who they were. Did you hear what I just said? Everybody else knew they were the sons of Sceva, the priest. Everybody knew their reputation. Among men, they had a good reputation. Among men, everybody knew they had power. Among men, they were walking hard, big dogs. But in the supernatural, they were like little puppets. The devil said, I don't even know who you are. Your name don't even come up in our circles. Paul, we know because he's getting on our last nerve. Every time we get somebody, he takes them back. Paul, we know in Jesus, we got to bow down one day. And we're trying to live as long as we can on this earth. But man, you going to walk up in here talking like you somebody? Oh, no, you didn't. And look what happens. Verse 16. Read. Woo! Whoa! They went out in a birthday suit. Now get this. Notice this. They walked in with a reputation. And they walked out with the reputation ruined. All because they don't know him. You can't play with you don't know him. Don't you even go there if you don't know Christ. But if you know Christ, the baby, the smallest one among us can do what Paul can do. Born again the first day, you can go cast out a demon. You don't have to be mature because the power ain't in your maturity. It's in the Holy Ghost. First day saved. I'll never forget a man that I met, man, a couple years ago. Dude's got zero teeth on the top. Zero. He can eat hot dogs fast. The dude is one of the most amazing people I've ever met. He was strung out on drugs for years. Methamphetamines blew his teeth away. And one day, a preacher came along and preached Christ. And that man gave his life to Jesus. But when he gave his life to Jesus, he didn't just give it. He jumped head in without reserve. Because the Bible says, to whom much is forgiven, the same loves much. Some ain't never been through nothing. So when they get saved, it's like life as usual. But when you go through stuff like I've been through, and you got a chance to get it right, and God took your sins away, man, you get buck wild crazy, like, God, I love you. And you become his biggest advocate. Why would Steve Yates want a church and talk about Jesus just to talk about one dude? Think about it. What are we doing here tonight? Talking about one dude. Gave up his career, gave up all the 401ks, he gave up his prestige, I gave everything up, my game, my motorcycle, all that stuff, I give up to talk about one dude. Why in the world would I do that? Because man, when you meet this dude, it'll change you. And you know what he's done for me. All I can do for the rest of my days is to do the best I can to share with somebody about that one dude. That's it. I don't care what happens. Now listen, our church is growing because I'm sharing about the dude. But it ain't because of Steve. It's because they're experiencing themselves. Now, it's because they're positionally becoming shifted or changed. And they're going, man, this stuff for real. Now, watch this. They beat those guys so bad, their human reputation didn't matter no more. And that's the reality when it comes to the supernatural. You don't want a natural reputation. You want a supernatural reputation. Big difference. We moved into, I tell the story all the time. She and I moved into our first duplex. And we remember going, like, yeah, duplex. We, you know, had one little baby. Yay, a duplex. And the guy opened the door, and in the middle of the living room was this big black spot, this huge, greasy black spot. Oh, I'll clean it up. And I'm thinking, clean that up? I said, what happened? He goes, oh, well, the guy used to live here. He was kind of crazy. He took apart his car in the driveway, and then he brought all the pieces into the living room, and he built the car back up in the living room. Took us forever to get it out of here. And I'm thinking, what in the world, what would make a man do that? And he says, yeah, he was pretty crazy, man. He used to beat on his wife. He used to do this. He used to do that. It was pretty bad. It was really bad. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's terrible. Yeah, yeah, we'll take it. I don't know why I did that, but we did. We took the place, and I remember probably within a week, I'm laying down on the bed, and I'm just, you know, just restless, just restless. And I'll never forget, I'm laying down, and I finally fall off to sleep, and in my sleep, I sit up in the spirit. And I look over to the right where Chanita was sleeping, and I saw these two little demons. Gosh, imps, if you want to call them, with claws swiping at Tanita's throat. Swiping, and they're arguing with each other. Huh, she's mine. Huh. And they're swiping at her throat, but they can't reach her, can't touch her, right? And then I turn around this way, and I see another demon on my left going, he belongs to me. I'm going to get him. He's mine. I'm going to get him. And he's swiping at me, but yet he can't touch me. And I'm going like this in my sleep, and I'm scared, and all of a sudden, I wake up. It was so vivid. And I go, and my heart's beating fast, and I'm sitting there, and because the bed shook, she said, Steve, you all right? And what do you say? You're newlyweds. You made a mistake. You know what I'm saying? What do you say? So I sat there for a minute, thought about it. I said, did you notice anything unusual when you were sleeping? And she says, it's funny you say that. When I was laying down, it felt like something was over me, swiping at my throat. And you know, this brother jumped up out of that bed. In the name of Jesus, I command you spirits to come out of here. Right then, right there, I realized I ain't never prayed over my house. And I said, they are not allowed in this place. And I went through that place and said, demons, you ain't allowed up here, not downstairs. I went in every corner. I pulled open the roof. I said, push up the attic. You got to get out. Everybody out. Everybody out. You got to go. That man left all them things in the house. And here I am renting the place. Didn't even think that in the supernatural there is a world that we don't see. But positionally, they knew they couldn't touch her throat and they couldn't touch me. Ladies and gentlemen, you want to have a reputation in the supernatural and not in the natural. Natural reputations fade. Supernatural ones never do. Okay? You want to get to, I remember that night when I did that. I remember that night. I heard a voice say, we now know your name. That was the first time I ever heard that. We now know your name. And I knew I'm right along with Paul. Okay? This is what we have to look for. All right, so let me go back to, again, we're talking about positionally shifted. The moment you came to Christ, you may not understand it, but you've been shifted into a supernatural world in which you have authority and you have power, and you must now know your shift. Then you become stronger because, number one, Christ shifted you at the point of your salvation. Now, let's talk about the second stage of your shifting, because this is important so that you guys do not get caught up in guilt. Guilt is terrible. It will drive so many people away from church, away from fellowship, away from friends, because they feel like they made a mistake or they messed up, and then they walk away from God and don't know that you got to come back to God anyway. He's the only one that forgives. Are you kidding me? The devil ain't going to forgive you. So just make a quick U-turn and come on back. You know what I mean? Watch this. Here's the first one is instantaneous or positional. The second one is ongoing or practical sanctification. Write that down. Ongoing or practical sanctification. Practical sanctification. What do I mean by that? God wants to increasingly express his holiness in our lives through the moral maturity, through moral maturity and sinlessness. Do you understand? He wants to come into more areas of your life that maybe he hadn't been in yet, and you'll see it in areas of moral maturity and sinlessness. In other words, there might be areas where your morality has been broken down, but the more and more you're sanctified by God, the more and more you let him in those areas of your life, that's when you start to really grow because you're setting more and more aside for him. But you could tell if a person's not maturely growing because their moral life isn't growing. And so you'll find them drinking, smoking, cussing, doing all the things they used to do when they were sinners, because they haven't allowed God to sanctify their heart. That's how you tell the difference. A person that's been changed, morally, they've allowed God to address those areas in their life. Okay? So sin isn't as easy to do as it used to be, because he's now setting more of your choices aside for him. Okay? Now, this is the truth, and I need you to hear this and write this down. Those who are the most mature, write that down, those who are the most mature accept the most truth. That's deep. Those who are the most mature accept the most truth. This is very important. I was sitting down with some young men, and we were going through training, and I like to disciple people along the way. I've got three guys I'm working and discipling every week, and one of the issues came up was about truth. And what we learned is this, that the mature of us accept the most truth. Those who are the immature only accept partial truth when it fits their lifestyle. That's how you know the difference between someone's mature and someone's not. A person can say, well, I accept the truth, but, you know, I'm not accepting that in my life. I'm not going to do that. That's immaturity. Immaturity. The person who is the most mature of you in this room are the ones who accept all of God's truth for what it says, regardless of how you feel about it. That's powerful. That is so powerful. Why? Because it does not allow you to lie to yourself. Isn't that something? The ability to tell yourself you're okay when you're not okay is a sign of immaturity. Good example. Do you remember the woman, the couple, Aquila and Priscilla? Can anyone tell me what happened to them? They died. Anybody tell me how they died? Let me tell you how they died. Aquila and Priscilla, the church was growing. Everybody was all happy. The church was just bursting at the seams. New guests, new people showing up. It was just like the kickin'est church in town. It was like Frontier, actually. And And so all these people are coming to church, and the pastor, like Pastor Steve, got up and said, hey, listen, we got some people we really want to help. We ask that you give. Would you please give to the cause? And then all of a sudden, people who had a willing heart, they were so excited. They said, you know what? I got extra land I'm never using. I'm going to sell the land and donate it to the church. And then they sold the land and gave it to the church. Other people said, you know what? I have some money I didn't save. Well, I'm not going to use that. Let's use it for God. And they brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet, right at their feet, right there in front of everybody, right? Well, it started such a movement that, you know how some people feel guilty because they haven't given anything yet, you know? And so they go, well, you know, and Aquila and Priscilla made the decision, well, you know, we need to give, but, you know, this don't make no sense giving all that money. It don't make no sense. But I want reputation among men. So what they did, they went out and sold a piece of their property for a good piece of money. And they said, now the man was like, now listen, we'll give the church 70% of this, but I'm going to keep the other 30% for a nest egg for us. The wife was like, kudos, let's do it. Okay? So they get to church that night. Tell me something. Is now any different from then? What's different? What's different between now and then? Did Christ die on the cross? Did he? Yeah, he was on the cross already. Did he rise from the grave? Yes, he rose. We're not talking. We're talking New Testament church with Jesus, the God of love, the one who loves everybody. It was doing church like this tonight. And so they came in with the money. I keep hitting this thing. They came in with their money. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it behind me. Get thee behind me, speaker. All right. There we go. And so they came in, and they like, you know, hey, Pastor Steve, we're so happy we're able to give this. This is, you know, we sold some land like all of the others, but, you know, we had a big piece. So, Pastor Steve, this is hard for us. So, but we did it. We did it. So here you go, Pastor Steve. Hope you enjoy it. And Peter stood there, looked at it, looked at Aquila and said, I'm sorry, Chinita. What'd you say? No, what was it? Uh-huh. Y'all gonna go that long and not say nothing? That is so bad. None of y'all love me. Never but this one. She's like, Aquila. I'm like, what? That's so bad. I did say don't believe you. No, I didn't say don't believe your pastor. It's your pastor. Believe. Anyway, I'm getting confused. Okay, who are we talking about? Yes. As I was saying. Ananias and Sapphira. So Ananias, well, I butchered that word. Ananias, erase that. Ananias came in and said, here you go, Peter, enjoy. And Peter said, Ananias, let me ask you, what made you lie to the Holy Spirit? Because people do things in front of men and think, I'm doing it to you. I'm not doing it to God. Don't you know when you say something to the preacher? Can I just be real? Oh, my goodness, if people would just catch this. Jesus said, whatsoever you do to the least of these, you do to me. And a preacher has to be the least of these because he's the servant of all. And he's given his life to serve the all. And you walk up to a man like that or a woman like that and you tell them off. I'm not afraid. I'm terrified. Because you don't know. Think about it. Before you yell and cuss somebody out, think how much God's invested in that person. Think how much God had to pull that person out of a fire time and time and time again for them to do what he needs them to do. And you just walk up and blah, 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 all over them. And don't even think twice. You are not talking to them. You are talking to the Holy Spirit, who they represent. We are all ambassadors to Christ. What if I'm an ambassador in China and they offend me? They don't offend just me. They offend the United States of America. And there are international repercussions. Likewise, in the supernatural, when you offend a man or woman of God or any child of the kingdom, come on, you got to hear me. There are ramifications. Now, you might be mad, you might be justified in your mind, but hush your mouth. Look at your name and say, hush your mouth. You don't know what you don't know. Don't know. And here's one thing I always say about people. You don't know whether they went to God and said, God, forgive me. Because if they did that before you opened your mouth, now you double trouble. Now you're picking on an innocent person. Come on now. Gossip is dangerous. That's why I say we have a no gossip policy. Why? Because all that talking about people going to get you in trouble because you put your mouth on the wrong person. You know, you cannot be so light with words. You have to be very careful. And the Bible teaches that because Ananias said, hey, yeah, we gave this. And Peter said, is this the price you really got for it? And he said, yeah, so easy. So easy to say. Can I teach you something very important? Okay, please write this down. Write this down. You need this. You will never know. Write this down. You will never know when the test is coming. Write that down. You will never know when the test is coming. Some people think, hey, you know what? Well, I'll be ready. I'll be ready when on that, because, you know, when it comes to giving, I'll be ready the next time. No, he going to wait until you finally saved up enough money to go buy what you want, and all of you that you don't like for half of what you got, and you on the test. You aren't ready. You'll never be ready. You just have to be set in your mind to do what is right all the time so that you're ready whenever the test comes. What do you think Ananias needed to have settled in his mind before that test came? What principle should he have been living by? I will not lie. If he had just had that in his mind, I'm going to stop all this lying, he would be alive today. And so he says, hey, Ananias, is this what you sold it for? Yeah, Peter. Yeah, why are you asking me questions? I thought we'd just drop it off and keep going. You know, come back here. Come back here. Are you sure this is what you sold it for? Yeah. He says, you lied not to me, but to the Holy Spirit. And guess what? You're going to drop where your feet stand. Boom, hit the ground. Right there in the middle of church. And he had to get young men. So I suspect he was a heavy man. Probably ate a lot. They couldn't get the older brothers. They had to get the young brothers. Y'all carried this man out. And they carried Ananias out. Well, after a while, the wife was like, he should have been home by now. So she comes to church. And everybody's still around, right? And nobody says nothing to her. Boy, you better have some good friends in church. That tells you about the kind of relationship she had with people, right? Because if she had good friends, hey, girl, let me tell you something. Your husband messed up. Here's what he did. Don't you lie. But she was so used to, it's me and my hubby, just us. And that, man, let me tell you something, that is the worst thing you could ever do. Can I share something for the couples in the house? Listen, you need friends. Can I say this again? You need friends. When you isolate yourself and you don't explore and have other friends that are godly, what begins to happen, you will convince each other what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right. because you don't let any of the fresh water in that relationship. And before long, y'all going to either kill each other or die by yourself. That's what happened to this couple. They had no friends. My God, if she dropped dead, somebody warned me. Somebody say amen. So here she comes to church looking for a man, walks up. Now, we're still talking about sanctification ongoing. Walks up, and Peter looks at her and says, hey, is this how much you sold it for? And what did she rehearse? Right? She says, I got to stand by your man. You better stand by your God. Your man gets you in trouble. So she said, yeah. And Peter says, you know what? What's her name? Sapphira. Said, you know what, Safi? The same feet who took your husband out, dead, about to take you out. Boom, she hits the ground. Dead. And Peter still got the money. God said, I'm going to get it all. I'm getting it all. And they took her out. Why? Because positionally, she was changed as a believer. This was Christian church. These were believers. Positionally, she was changed, but she forgot positionally that she had been changed. Number one. And number two, she didn't allow God to touch that ongoing sanctification of lies that they've been able to tell themselves. You have to let God's word minister to every aspect of where you're weak. So that if there's an area that you know you are weak in, you need to find the words that give you hope and help in that area, that give you instruction in that area, so that you don't stay so isolated that you make a deadly mistake. Go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Starting at, I think, verse 28. No, 48. 5 and 48, please. This is ongoing sanctification. Matthew 5 and 48. All right. Let's all read this together, shall we? All right, what does that mean? Who can do this? Who can do this? Raise your hand. Okay, we got one. What'd you say? Green mic.
Excuse me?
No, I was telling them I'm gonna hear you. Green mic. Go ahead.
I attempt to be as perfect as I can, like the Heavenly Father.
Okay, so let me help you with one thought. Okay, you say this, I will be like my Heavenly Father. Say that.
I will be like my Heavenly Father.
Never say try. Because when anybody says I will try, you automatically know they're not going to do it.
I was just trying to be humble.
You're trying. Be humble. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't try to be. Be.
Do it.
There you go. The reality in most of us is that God is not looking for us to try to be like him. We are to be like him. Because whenever if you ask me, hey, Pastor Steve, would you come pick me up? Well, I'll try. You better find a bus. I'm telling you right now. Okay? And that's the reality, is that you can be perfect because Jesus said, but you are to be, he didn't say try to be, he says you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is. So that means there is a way to get there. Somebody say amen. Do you understand? That is an opportunity for sanctification. That means that positionally you've been shifted, and now you in the process ongoing of becoming more and more perfect like the Father. The word perfect there is not the word without flaw. It is the word mature. He wants you to be mature as the Father is mature. That means accepting more. And what was my rule on who's the most mature? The one who accepts the most truth. Some people are still in denial. First to themselves and then to others. But the mature are humble enough to say, I accept that. I accept. They're able to receive rebuke. They're able to be corrected. Do you know how many people leave the church because I have to correct them? I mean, they come to become more like Christ, and the very moment you correct them, they run. Why? They can't handle truth. They came to be tickled, not taught. I don't tickle people. They punch. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. And don't tickle me. You will get hit. That's what I'm saying. So the reality is that we have to be open for more and more truth. And if you trust your pastor or your leaders, you can't get mad when they tell you change. Come on, somebody. Listen, I have people tell me, I say, hey, it's good to see you. I haven't seen you in a while. Well, yeah, you know, I've been so busy. Every time? My thought is maybe you're too busy for God. Listen, anything that's got you that busy can't be in God's will. You're making a mistake if you're that busy that you can't slow down and learn about him. Do you think he made the world to be like that? I can guarantee you, you're out of the will. I can promise you, if you're so busy making money, making a name, going, coming, cooking, cleaning, and you say, I'm just busy, I'm going to tell you, you are lying to yourself. Because God never made anything in this world to trump his relationship. Not one thing. And if you're too busy, it's because you've chosen something above him. So don't, now pastors, we're trained to keep a straight face. I'm just letting you know. I'm letting some people off hooks as big as the world. And they go, hey, Pastor, I was just busy. I'm like, don't change the face. Okay, well, good. See you next week. But I know. No. Everybody say excuse. It's an excuse. You got to change. If you want truth, you got to first start with yourself. And don't play games. Let me say this. Don't think just because you've got some people that you've got fooled, you got everybody fooled. Can I say that, please? Listen, there are people that come to me and they say, Pastor Steve, I want to be a minister. And then 3 months later, I see him again. Pastor Steve, I want to be a minister. And then 3 months later, they're gone. They come again. Pastor Steve, I want to be a minister. And I go, I don't even know who you are. Jesus, I know. No, that tells me that positionally, you may be changed. And that's where most of us are. We've all been positionally changed. But practically and ongoing, you haven't changed. That shows me maturity. That means there's a part of truth that you haven't accepted yet. So how can God use you if you're always gone or too busy? And don't think that the lifestyle at home doesn't get back to the church. Don't think that at all, because it will. I know there are people in here that dream and it's scary. People come and tell me my business. I'm like, how'd you hear that? I said, God told you my business? Yeah. Yeah. That's for all of us. Get it right there. Then come here. Don't come here and hope you don't ever have to get it right there. That's ongoing practicality, ongoing sanctification, is that God takes more of you and more of you and more of you away from yourself, and you become less selfish and more selfless, and you become more holy and less carnal. A person who's carnal in nature is saved, but yet their mind's not renewed to know what is the good, perfect, and acceptable truth of God, will of God. They don't know what God wants. And God is trying to positionally change you, one. Two, ongoing practicality, that you become better and better and better. The Bible says the just shall shine brighter and brighter unto the day of redemption. Your light should get brighter and brighter. Nobody should be stuck. Nobody has arrived. Can I say that again? Say it with me. Nobody has arrived. All of us, especially me, must continue to let my light grow brighter and brighter, more and more. My life to him. That's for all of us. That is what Jesus did on the cross to bring you in. Okay? That we are to be perfect and mature and accept more and more truth as we grow older. But you have to know truth, okay? Not yours, not the world's, his, okay? Now, the last one, and we'll close out with this one, is eternal or final sanctification. We've got positional sanctification. Everyone got that concept, okay? Positional sanctification occurs when we're born again. There's ongoing practical sanctification that occurs every day of our life as he teaches us and trains us and instructs us how to live better and better, and we shine brighter and brighter until the day of him. And then there is eternal sanctification or final sanctification. Let's talk about that. We will experience this when Jesus returns for his church. Go to 1 Thessalonians, Callie, chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Okay, if you have it, will we all read out, please? Go. Now listen, when someone passes on, we can't act like we don't know that they're gone somewhere. We can't act like we don't know where they've gone, okay? And we don't act like people who have no hope. We do have hope. So we can't rock bottom out, because they're alive. And to deny that truth is to deny your faith, okay? Verse 14, read. So God will bring back, he's going to send Jesus to the earth, and Jesus is going to bring back the believers who have died. When he comes, everybody that died in Christ, he's going to bring them back. He's going to bring them back to heaven, and they're going to be eternally set aside. And then here's what happened to our bodies. Philippians 3, 20 and 21. This stuff is the best thing ever. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Okay, let's read when it comes on the board. Uh-huh. Okay, stop. What are you? What are you? What are you? All right, I need you to say it like you mean it. Don't say it like you're repeating. All right, what are you? Do you realize that means this is not your home? Do you understand what the power of that phrase? This is not your home. Means though you may be borrowing some land and renting a room, this is not your place. God has what belongs to you there, and he will take care of everything you need here until you get back home. Somebody say amen. You are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. Not is memorialized. He is alive there. Read. No. Go back. Thank you. Go. So he's telling you, while you're here, this is not your home. And we are all waiting for him to crack the sky and come and get us. Okay? We're eagerly looking forward to it. Let me ask you a question. How eager are you? Because if I could get half of you in this building to get eager about his return, you would make different decisions in your life. When you are constantly thinking he's returning, and every decision is so that you make sure you don't miss the bus, you will make different decisions. Somebody say amen. Amen. I want you to start getting excited and eager, waiting for him to return. That means every day you're going to plan differently, because you're not looking at it as, well, today might not be the day. You'll be thinking every day, this might be the day. So let me act right, do right, live right, and just love everybody. Have forgiveness for people. Let me show more affection to others. Let me be kinder. Let me be more giving. I don't need to hold on to everything. Let me share. Let me invite someone to life. Let me take someone out to dinner. Let me pray for a person I've never prayed for. When you have that kind of expectation, you give more love to people. But look at verse 21. Read that. Yes. Stop. He will take what? He's taking that weak, mortal body, the one you got now, right now. And he's going to do what? Mm-hmm. Yes. He's going to change everything in your body to be like his. The same power he's going to use to bring the whole world under his control, he's going to use that to help you with that. Now, I love this. Then we will be conformed into him. Go to 1 John 3 and 2. We just got a couple more verses I want you to read. 1 John 3 and 2. And it reads, "Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we see him as he really is." Now here's the rejoicing news. From then on, we shall be holy, and God will present us faultless before God. Did you hear that? He will present you faultless. Some of us wonder, I don't know how you're going to do that. I got issues. You got issues, right? And we're like, I don't know how that's going to happen. You don't have to worry about how it's going to happen. That's what he does. I want you to take a look at Ephesians chapter 5, 26 and 27. Ephesians chapter 5, 26 and 27. Let's read what the scriptures say. 25, 26 and 27. Let's read there. And 25, good. Read. "For husbands, this means just he gave up his," verse 26, "to make her." That's why he died, so that you could be holy and clean and washed by the cleansing of God's word. Go to verse 27. Uh-huh. Yes.
Woo!
Without fault. Now watch this. Go down to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. He's going to present us faultless before God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. First Thessalonians, let's all read. Now may the God of peace make you holy in every way, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again. Okay, final verse, Jude verse 24. Jude chapter 1, verse 24. Let's all read together now.
Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you with great joy into his glorious presence with God's single will.
Somebody ought to give God some praise for that one. Amen. Bring you into his glorious presence without a single fault. Amazing. I'm looking forward for that day. I sure am. How many learned something tonight? Amen, amen. My encouragement to you is do not hold it to yourself. If you've learned something, please share it with another person so they can be bettered by it, and hope. Give them hope that, listen, you may make a mistake, but Jesus is working to present you faultless before the Father. So don't give up, don't give in, and don't give over to the enemy, because God's got a plan for your life, okay? All right, let's give God another hand clap of praise. Amen. For now, I appreciate to all of you, and I apologize for canceling last Thursday. I just didn't want you out in the storm that was coming through Lake County, and that was very, very important that you guys stay safe. Tonight, though, we have an opportunity to come together, and as we always do, we want to worship the Lord in our giving. Would you take out a gift before the Lord for the word you have received tonight? That as he feeds into your spiritual life, would you release unto him those things you've garnered in the natural so that the kingdom of God can move forward? You have the ability to push the kingdom forward by what you give. The church is bettered by it. Ministry is improved by it. Lives are touched by it. But it all comes from us. What we give and what we do not give determines how much we can bless other people. So if you're here today, I'd like for you to take out a gift, and then when you have your gift ready, I'm going to ask that you hold it in the air. If you have an iPhone or an iPad, you could text Frontier to 77977, that's 77977, and you can give online on a regular basis. I always believe you automate what's important to you. And if you want to automate your giving to God so you don't have to worry about forgetting, that's what I do, and it's awesome. I want to give a shout out to all of the viewers that are watching our Bible Encounter. Church, can we give them a great hand clap real quick? I want to give a shout out to Dustin Yates. I was supposed to do it last Sunday. Give a shout out to my son who is in Tallahassee, Florida at FAMU. I want to say, son, I believe in you, and you will be all that God called you to be. And I love you. All right. Hold your gift up in the air, please, when you're ready. And we're going to pray over it and ask God to bless it. This weekend, as you have your arms in the air, we're going to be recruiting pretty heavily for those who will work with our children's ministry on Sunday. So please, if it's been in your heart to help out, please sign up this weekend to help out in the children's ministry. We need help. We want your help in that area. All right, let's pray over the offering. Oh, Jesus, thank you for the kindness of those here in the room and the giving that you see. Not giving out of obligation, but giving out of love, a cheerful kind of giving. Lord, would you bless their offering as you always have and always will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You can give. Go ahead and give. While we're waiting, if you have a question about the Bible, we want to open that up. Soon, hopefully on live stream, we'll have an ability to take questions from around the world. Hopefully our team...